I didn't have a seat looking for the service tonight, but amen. Well, let's go ahead and have the word of prayer tonight, and we'll get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the joy, service, and fellowship. Thank you for the beautiful, nice, gorgeous day you gave us today in the warm weather. I pray now that you'd meet with us tonight to help us enjoy our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks so very much for being our God. Thank you for your Son. We thank you for the salvation of the cross. Thank you for this service tonight. We just pray your blessing upon the offering that we take. We pray for our pastor and the message tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue with our study on heaven, looking at Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 21. And again, this is a survey and a challenge to a way to whet your appetite, hopefully that you will do some more digging and more studying on your own, as we've talked about as we've started this series earlier this year. And I want you to continue on, and we'll continue on with different topics and subjects of the doctrines of the Bible and theology. But do you really know what you believe about heaven tonight? This is part two, and we'll talk a little more again next week. But Revelation chapter 21, in just a moment we'll read verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their people. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy and your grace. Pray that you'd help me tonight, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. And Lord, help me to, and all of us, stay attuned tonight as we continue with our study. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we be challenged. May we be encouraged. Lord, may we be stirred to get excited about the things of God, the things of heaven, and to continue our study on our own. Now, bless us again tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we mentioned last week, much about death and what happens after death is a mystery. However, there are a lot of things that we know because of what the Bible tells us. And the Bible cannot tell us unless we open it and read it. That's why I encourage you so much. Continue your studies. Something we talk about, whether it be in Proverbs or Sunday night, do you really know what you believe, and the different themes that we've went through from our Savior to the Holy Spirit and hell and now heaven, to get into your Bible and study. And on that topic, someone asked me tonight, a couple people have made the comment that they have kept the series on what do you really know what you believe about, a kind of a study guide, or maybe to help and encourage someone else. And I know there's some others that have kept some of the outlines as well as on Wednesday night. I would encourage you to do that, or at least make good notes even in your Bible. So if those topics do come up, you have an opportunity to share your faith or to answer a question that somebody might have, because we're living in a time, again, where people are beginning to search more about spiritual things. They really don't know what they're looking for. They really don't know what they want, and it's important that we share Scripture with them. So as we continue, the Bible says that we don't just stop existing after death. We are not destroyed. We do not return to the dust and then disintegrate. Instead, we will live, but in a different place. For those that are not saved, that place is called hell. We spent a couple weeks on that. For those who know Jesus as their personal Savior, that place is called heaven. But what about heaven? What is it going to be like? What does the Bible say about it? Again, heaven is so much more than we have been trained to believe. Last week we asked a question and put out a question about maybe some questions you might like to ask somebody in heaven or who you want to meet. I know it's going to be all about the Savior. It's going to all be about worshiping Him. But again, the thought about questions you may have. And some of those questions might even be found in your Bible as we study those, some of those characters we'd like to talk about. Some Christians don't even think about heaven. You see, for them it is enough to know that God is in control, and He is, and that they will find out when they get there. I don't know about you, I'm a little curious about things in general. Is all I could stand today without fighting and resisting of going online and looking what the score was, even though I said I was going to wait and watch the game and don't want anyone to tell me. That's curiosity. We should have some about heaven. Again, not even thinking about it, I don't think that's a good way to approach this subject of heaven when it's mentioned so often and so clearly in our Bible. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So, have you ever imagined or thought beyond what you know? Have you thought about what you know about heaven? Have you ever considered the inconceivable? Who gives you the capability to do that? Why do we limit our thinking about what heaven might be like? The Bible, again, has so much to say about heaven. Number one tonight, the location of heaven. Back in our text, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So a question to go with our little section. What are some of the thoughts you have heard others make about where heaven is located? Letter A, the former state was paradise, referring to heaven. Luke chapter 23, in verse 42 and 43, the Bible says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, when we stay in context of this passage, you discover that this was a paradise in reference to Abraham's bosom. It was in the center of the earth, on the paradise side of the place of the dead. The other form it, which was now has been expanded. Of course, we see that with Lazarus and the rich man. The book of Isaiah 5, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he hath rejoiced shall descend, and he that rejoices shall descend into heaven." See, paradise did not stay in the center of the earth, which leads us to the next point. A, the former state was paradise, and letter B, the current state is above. Paradise has shifted from its former location to its intermediate location. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2 through 4. "I knew a man," as Apostle Paul writes, "in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." See, the place we call heaven is still paradise, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You cannot explain paradise any better than being with the Lord. But this should not be confused with eternal heaven. That leads us to letter C. The future state will be on earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be to in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, the final heaven, the eternal heaven, will be a new heaven on a new earth. And it too will be paradise, because we will be there with the Lord forever. So the location of heaven. And then number two tonight, the activity of heaven. Back to Revelation 21 in verse number two. And I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So a couple questions for this section. What do you think we'll be doing in heaven? Again, we've talked about the idea of what heaven may be like, who we might like to talk to, but what will we be doing in heaven? The next question, what would you like to do in heaven if you had a choice? Now, be honest, has anyone ever thought about what you would like to do if you had a choice? I have to be honest, until this study, I don't know that I actually thought about what I wanted to do when I was in heaven if I actually had a choice, or again, if we had a choice to interview or to talk to someone who that might would be. Letter A. It will not be boring. It will not be boring. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, and by the way, speaking of singing, I will have a glorious voice in heaven. I don't have one now, but the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And when I sing, my wife calls it a noise. So I am singing scripturally. Yes, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. See, we will have meaningful work and responsibility in heaven. Now, stay with me. We'll have meaningful work and responsibilities in heaven. We'll examine this more detail next week, and I stretched this out a little bit instead of giving much of it tonight. I broke it up. Promise you it has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. It just flows better, and God knows when they play the Super Bowl. Amen. Letter B, it will be challenging. It will be challenging. Not only will it not be boring, it will be challenging. Not in the same sense it is going to demand us to sweat. That was part of the curse. It's going to require us to think and to be involved in God's creation throughout eternity. Human history began with challenging, meaningful work in the Garden of Eden. And it will be end with challenging, meaningful work in the New Jerusalem. Preacher, where's your scripture to back that up? Well, hey, it's going to be heaven on earth, and we came from the sweat and the brow in the Garden of Eden. We had to work, we toiled, but if we're going to be continuing the work of the Lord, we're going to be in the New Jerusalem. I believe there's going to be some things that we'll be involved with that will be meaningful in our lives. The activity of heaven, and number three, the inhabitants of heaven. Back again to Revelation 21 and verse number three. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, we had a couple questions, and we'll get to some more in part three here in just a moment. But in the activity of heaven, we talked about what do you think we'll be doing in heaven, and what would you like to do in heaven if you had a choice? I meant to pause there. Would anybody like to admit or make comment, if you haven't, or if you've just been thinking about it the last 2 or 3 minutes, what would you like to do in heaven if you had a choice? Sam? Amen. Yes. Observation. See the angels, see what they're doing, observing what's going on. Brother John. Explore the new earth. There you go. Hey, Brother Hottie, I know you and Miss Hottie are out in the foyer. We'll go hiking in heaven, brother. Yeah, anyone else? Yes, Miss Susan. Amen, amen. Anyone else? All right, we'll move on. That other question again? Yes, ma'am. Yes, amen. You know, again, we don't fully know completely what heaven will be like as much as what the Bible is telling us. But again, remember that caveat, if you had a choice. I think it's good for us to think about heavenly things. It's good for us to think about what heaven might be like. And again, have you ever taken the time to think about not only what heaven will be like, but who will be there? And let me make it a little challenging for you. Who will be there because you shared the gospel with them? Who will be there because you prayed that God would save their souls? You know, that investment that we talked about this morning in our prayer life and investing in others and who we will see when we're in heaven. Number three, the inhabitants of heaven. What kinds of things have you been told concerning who or what is going to be in heaven? So I'm going to pause on that first. What kinds of things have you been told concerning who or what is going to be in heaven? That's a tougher one. Any takers on that? Go on the streets. Anyone else? I had a young girl ask me one day, "Preacher, will my pet kitty cat that died last year be in heaven?" You know, I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. But again, these are things that go through the minds of people. These are things that go through the minds of children. So, yeah. Letter A, we'll get to that. People will be there. People will be there. Of course, we know that. Some of us, we know, will be there. We know there's those that we've led to the Lord. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 through 21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." Amen. Tony, no more arthritis, no more cataract surgery, no more other aches and pains. "He will who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." People will be there. Letter B, animals might be there. Animals might be there. Bear with me. We know that there will be at least one white horse, because Jesus will be riding he'll be riding one when he returns. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war." Remember, Adam did name the animals in Eden before the fall. It makes sense that there might be animals in the New Jerusalem, and God makes all things new. But it's not worth arguing. Whether there will be or won't be, it's just simply not worth arguing about. Letter C, most importantly, the best for last, the Lord will be there. Amen. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 23. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You know, I think about doubting Thomas, and he wasn't there to see the resurrected Lord, had doubts when he was there. And of course, the Lord, he made comment and the Lord had to show him. But think about some of the things about our Savior, the wounds, all that he went through for us, the light of the world. Folks, I know we do not know the time or the day when the Lord does return, but I think it's healthy as a Christian to think about heaven. To think about heavenly things. Not to the point that you're so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. Some of us have heard that expression. But thinking about heaven, the goodness of God, what we will have in heaven, what we won't have, and what will be left behind. And maybe sometimes I think it'll even help us to more fervently pray for others, friends and family that don't know the Lord, when we think about who will be there and then to this date who will not be there as of yet, as we continue to pray for friends and family and neighbors who were without the Lord, the location of heaven, the activity of heaven in the inhabitants of heaven. I know I'll be there because I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I've got friends and family that I know that are saved. And I've got friends and family that I know that have, to my knowledge, do not have not made a profession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will continue to pray for them. So let me encourage you, as I've mentioned from the very beginning of this series, do you really know what you believe about? Let me encourage you to ponder about what you do believe. Look at your notes that we've went over, and we'll continue with this series as you learn. Because the more we know and the more we can learn about heaven, the more we learn about hell, the more we learn about the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, or the more we know about those things in reference to theology and the things of doctrine, it better equips us when people ask us questions. First of all, never, ever, ever be afraid or ashamed to say, I don't know, but I know someone who does. Or I don't know, can I have some time, can I get back with you tomorrow, and to search it out. I think a lost person will have much more respect when you can say, I don't know, but that's a great question, can we study this together? Can we meet again another time and let me study this out? I think it's important that people realize that we don't know everything, but we do know what is written, and we don't have it memorized. We can always research it and look to the Word of God and challenge and encourage others. So hopefully tonight I sparked an interest a little more about heaven, maybe share some things that you may not have known about heaven, and maybe again encourage you to read your Bible, to do some research about that you might better answer or better equip yourself to ask questions, because you know, a lot of us, I know we're around kids, whether it be our kids, and I thought my kids asked a lot of questions. My grandkids have broke the records of their parents on asking questions. I'm still excited when they have questions, and sometimes I get aggravated with one of my daughters in particular. I get a little bit aggravated because she takes the easy way out. Go ask Papa, he's the preacher. Go ask him. And what do? They want to borrow the phone, or the next time they're coming over, they'll sometimes, this is what I love. Papa, I've got a pastor question. Can we go to your office? So go in and sit down on my chair. They jump up on my lap and they ask their question about the Bible, about God, about church, or about a song, or about circumstance. I love that. But isn't it exciting to know when they ask that you can take the Word of God and tell them and show them from Scripture and answer their question, or even challenge them? You know, that's a good question. Let's look to see what the Bible says about that. Maybe it's something we don't know, something we know, but we don't remember the Scripture, so let's go look to the Scripture. So as we close tonight, again, let me challenge you and encourage you to search the Scriptures, get into the Bible. Keep notes if you have it. Take the opportunity to share your faith with others. And again, I told you a couple of weeks ago, I do my best not to just wing everything that I do, though I do that sometimes. But here at church, I want to have a pattern. I want to have things done the way they do it. We're doing faith, family, and fellowship for a purpose. We're doing some of the things that we're teaching on unity in Sunday school for a purpose. We're doing some of the studies we do for a purpose, because I want to be prepared, and I want you to be prepared. Because one day, if the Lord tarries his return and the Lord allows us to continue, can you imagine having a time where I have to call you because we've had several people who come to know the Lord and I need help mentoring and discipling them? And you can go to your notes and say, hey, I've got it. Or Pastor, you have some of those notes and questions you had that series you went over. Pastor, is there a new converts book that I can use to mentor and to go with someone? Brother Sam just finishing discipling and mentoring a young man who has a desire to go further. And we have another program that's more intense, that's multiple weeks to go through, as opposed to one that's only 6, 8, or 9 weeks. Because we want to well equip those who come to know the Lord. I grew up in a generation, and so did you. And we'll close with this thought. It's nothing to do with heaven. It has everything to do about digging the Word. Where many people walked the aisle, they trusted Christ as their personal Savior, they were encouraged to be baptized, and someday, the same Sunday, and then they were received into the fellowship. They were given a handshake, thank you, and a box of tithing envelopes with the other hand. And they were told to be faithful, and that was it. We can't continue on another generation that way. We have to mentor. We have to disciple. We have to encourage. We have to talk about the Bible, because iron sharpeneth iron, and we need a younger generation that will be grounded and rooted in the Word that they can answer questions that come to them. And that takes work. That takes discipline. It's not a marathon. It's a gradual pace of meeting with someone on a regular basis, Lord willing, weekly, as schedules allow, for an hour, hour and 15, hour and a half, and making sure they understand as they go through the Word of God, understanding the salvation decision they made, understanding their next step of obedience and believer's baptism, and then going through the basic doctrines of our Lord and of our Savior and of the local church. It takes work, and that's why it's so important, and I do really try my best to have a plan, to have a pattern in teaching, to better equip us for what I'm praying that the Lord will bring us here at Harvest. Because I am praying for revival. I am praying for change. I am praying for many things to take place. Why? For His glory. And because we all have friends and family members who need to be saved. And if we can't go to them, let's go to someone else's family members who live somewhere else that are praying for their family members here. And I'll close with this question. If you were as faithful in serving and reaching other people in your community, how faithful are you? Do you want the one that will go witness to your family to be as faithful to you or more faithful? If you were to ask somebody to visit your family member in another state, Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, West Virginia, wherever it may be, to go visit a family member for me, what kind of person would you ask? And if someone was looking for someone to visit their family member in Arizona, would you be the person they would want to ask? Because of your zeal and your desire to reach others for Christ and your compassion and your patience in sharing the gospel with them. Heaven is real, and it's for people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and again, we praise you and thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your provisions. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take our study, to take our responsibilities in the Word of God so serious as we minister and fellowship with others and share our faith in the community that we live in. Lord, help us to be found faithful. Help us to be found grounded in the Word and truth that we may share our faith. Lord, I pray that you would give us souls for our labors as we minister here in the Goodyear, Buckeye, greater area. Help us to make a difference. And now, Father, dismiss us with your love. May you be uplifted and glorified. Give us safety as we travel home. Give us a great week this week. And Lord, give us an opportunity. Help us, remind us to look for an opportunity to share our faith and invite someone to church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you and this preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. I just heard the police go by, so don't race home to see the game. Just take your time. The food will be there. It's unrecorded. Just take your time. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.